All right. Welcome, everyone. This is Lost Rhetoric, a dim space for light hearts where we discuss all manner of odd. My name is Jason Dingus. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you to all return listeners and to all new listeners. Man, this is episode number 69. That might be funny to some of you really immature people out there, but you know what? I take this very seriously. And the number 69 just isn't funny to me. You know? It's just not. So grow the fuck up. Okay? Like, this technically isn't the 69th episode. This is kind of, what is this, the 71st, maybe? Because I've done a couple special kind of one-off things that I plan to continue to do. But this is the 69th episode that I have talked to somebody, had a guest, 69 episodes with a guest. And tonight's guest is none other than Kevin Spafford. He was on the show, as we discussed, almost 2 years ago, when we talked about a bunch of UFOs in the 60s that were showing up in his home state of Michigan. And that was a really good time. I still think it might be the longest episode in Lost Rhetoric history. Still, to this very day, the longest. I think it is. It's, you know, we had a really good conversation. And it lasted quite a while. This conversation, not as long, but still just as enthralling and amazing as you'd expect from a fella like Kevin Spafford. We talk cattle mutilations tonight. He's kind of got an obsession with cattle mutilations, animal mutilations, beyond cattle. A little bit of horse action going on. Maybe a little bit of pig mutilation going on, but mostly cattle mutilation we talk tonight. So please stick around for that. It's a great conversation with an old friend, Kevin Spafford. We used to be in a band together called Honduran for, almost 8 years, something like that. We haven't been together for about as long as we were together. We've been broken up for about 7 or 8 years. But, you know, I'm going to play a song of ours at the end of the show. So if you ever wonder what I used to be up to, and you ever wonder what me and Kevin used to be up to specifically for a very long time, stick around at the end of the show. I'm going to play a whole song for you. But speaking of music, let's get into what I've been listening to. So because of Kevin, I listened to the new Chat Pile record called God's Country, which is on a label called The Flenser. And this is a really good record, man. I mean, it's like really, I don't even know what you call it. It's heavy. It's weird. It's poignant. It's scathing. It's sharp. It's got a lot of things going for it. It's dissonant. It's just weird. Heavy, weird shit. And you can tell the band is all on the same page to create music as weird. I hate to keep using the word weird, but it is pretty weird. But to create something as strange as they create and as heavy as they create and as cohesive as they create, they all got to be on the same page. Because it's not easy making something so weird sound so good. And yeah, check out God's Country by the band Chat Pile from small town Oklahoma, I believe. Getting a lot of love, so they deserve it. Listen to that. A band called The War and Treaty. And to my understanding, this is a couple. And they are really dynamic. Soul music, gospel music, R&B, but just really great voices. Like, huge voices. Massive. And on their latest album, Heartstown, the music starts off kind of heavy, and it's almost with the vocals and the music and kind of some of the blazing guitar solos that are going on and the distortion of the guitars that's going on. They almost sound like a power metal band at times, but they're, I think deep down they're, it's just gospel and soul music done very well and very dynamically. So listen to The War and Treaty. Hollywood Burns. I feel like I've mentioned Hollywood Burns before, or someone, a past guest, suggested Hollywood Burns to me a long time ago, and I finally listened to him, to it. I think it's one person, technically it's one person, but it's just, it's kind of like, I mean, the word Hollywood in the title makes sense because it sounds Hollywood. It sounds like a movie soundtrack or a movie score kind of on steroids at times. Just really beefy, sometimes kind of heavy, almost on the metal side of things, but you know, just, I don't know, dynamic movie score stuff, heavy movie score, metal movie score music, really good. Hollywood Burns, check out Hollywood Burns. Couple albums that have been going out in the last couple years. I think the new one just came out this year, 2022, pretty sure. A friend of mine here in Oregon, in the Portland area, John Balaconta, has an EP called Where the River Ends, and he's just a good songwriter, man. It's just good rock and roll. It's just good kind of indie-style rock and roll. And we used to work on film sets together all the time, and I didn't know John. I mean, I knew he played music, but I didn't know he played. I think he does everything himself, and it sounds great. It's great songwriting. So I'm happy to listen to John in his creation because it blew my mind how well crafted the songs are. So listen to John Balaconta, Where the River Ends. And the last thing I've been listening to, Flo Milli has a new album out called You Still Here Ho. And she's still on her shit, you know. She's very full of herself. She thinks she's beautiful. She knows she's beautiful. She knows she's that bitch. And she dares you to try her. And I wouldn't. I wouldn't try her. But the music's pretty good. And she's pretty on point still. Oh, actually, that reminds me. There is another thing I've been listening to. The new Megan Thee Stallion. Megan Thee Stallion has a new album out, which I don't even remember the fucking name of it. It doesn't even matter. But I've been listening to it, and it's great. She doesn't miss. Sometimes it's a little more, I don't know, mainstream hip hop sounding than I like for my taste. But she kind of lightens up a little bit. I don't know. Her last couple records have been really, 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 really good to me. And this album's really, really good. Not really, really, really good, but really, really good. So, yeah, I'm a big Megan Thee Stallion fan. I guess another thing I've been listening to, just real quick, Fugazi 13 Songs. My son and I were just upstairs. He calls it the Real Red Record because if you know Fugazi 13 Songs, it's a red cover that just says Fugazi 13 Songs on it. And we were actually playing drums to it. He was playing, he had a stick, a real stick from a tree in his hand, just one, not two, but he was beating on the table and creating his own drum set out of, you know, a plate, an eyeglass case, and like a bowl and the table itself. And he was keeping time with me. Two Fugazi 13 songs. And he was saying it was his favorite record, and he turns four and 2 or 3 weeks. And anyway, yeah, so 13 songs, listened to that, and played music with my son. And he said he liked drums and he wanted to play drums, and he was actually pretty damn good at it tonight. But that's yeah, that's it, man. That's what I've been listening to. That is what I have been listening to. What have you been listening to? Maybe you should write me and tell me. LostRhetoricPodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you about anything. Music, topics, suggestions, reactions, anything. Just write me. It would be great to hear from you. You can follow me on Instagram at LostRhetoricPodcast. That's where I do most of my interaction, or anything I do online is Instagram, basically. I don't really mess around with anything else. Oh, did you hear that bing bong? I forgot to turn my phone off, and I shit you not, it's a text message from Kevin Spafford, my guest tonight. Where was I? Oh, you can find me on Twitter, Lost_rhetoric. I don't really use it, but if you write me on there, I'll write back. And just a good old-fashioned email, lostrhetoricpodcast@gmail.com. Did I mention that? I think I mentioned that. My gosh. I'm tired. The big one. The big one. Lostrhetoric.com. That's where you can find every single episode. And oh, the bing bong again. Oh my gosh. I forgot to turn it all off. And that's Kevin Spafford again. Man, he's on fire. I'll respond in a second. LostRhetoric.com, you can find the shop, the shirts, the koozies, the coffee mugs, the stickers, the pins. My God, I got a handful of pins. I would love to sell them to you. So get on LostRhetoric.com, go to the shop, and buy something. What do you think about that? I would love that. I think that's everything. I think that's all I got. Let's get into this conversation with Kevin, because he's trying to have a whole new conversation with me right now on the phone that you are hearing live. So I'm going to respond to these text messages as you listen to the conversation I had last night with Kevin Spafford about cattle mutilations. Well, how you doing, man? It's been almost 2 years to the day since you were last on the show. Isn't that crazy?
Damn, really? It's been that long?
Yeah, September, wow. I think, 13th of 2020.
Oh, just in the heyday of COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, man.
Yeah, we were really confused, and it was burning. Oregon was, the whole West Coast was burning. We left town the day after we recorded. It was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Everything was on fire.
Yeah.
Antifa and Proud Boys were fighting in the Carl's Jr. parking lot.
Yeah.
It's a crazy time.
Yeah, it was crazy pretty time. Fucking wild. Yeah. And look how much it's changed in almost 2 years. It's almost like none of that ever happened, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's like thinking of a distant part of my childhood.
It's gotten so much better.
It has. Yeah, man. It's nice to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been too long. Too long. So we're talking, I was going to say just cattle mutilations, but it's animal mutilations. But we're really focusing on the bovine aspect, huh?
We are.
That's bovine-centric.
Yeah. This is a cattle-centric discussion. I did find a couple. I found a couple references to I found a pig mutilation
Mm-hmm.
and a couple horse ones. I found a horse mutilation where the entire head was defleshed, and
Yeah.
that was very disturbing.
You're talking about Lady
I am, yeah. Yeah,
or
I think that might have been before the cattle mutilation proper like really got started, if we're thinking of the same one. There was one the year
Snippy.
before.
Snippy.
Snippy.
Well, Snippy is Lady.
Okay.
It's so funny, but yeah, it's like the
Yeah.
media kind of changed her name and the
Yeah.
owner of the horse just went along with it.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do
There
when your
was no
horse?
mutilation advocacy back then. You
Yeah.
they gave you a name and it stuck.
He's had to roll with
Yeah.
it. So where do you want to start? Because I don't know. Where do you want to start with this whole thing? What have you been looking into? What intrigues you about this whole phenomenon? It's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, the reason that this kind of first was on my, I've always thought it was in one of the more interesting, like, I guess, subgenres of stuff that you would hear on Coast to Coast back in the day. You had different lanes, abductions, whatever, crazy conspiracy stuff. And then once in a while, a cattle mutilation thing would pop up. And it always seemed like one of the more plausible things that would get talked about. I guess just because there were a variety of explanations, and there was always the part of it where people who would be looking at these things who had a lot of experience seeing dead cows who had died normally were completely blown away by it. So but the thing that made me start thinking about it was, I guess there have been a series, and it's starting in 2019 of mutilation events in our neck of the woods, well, kind of in Eastern Oregon and Central Oregon. And so that was kind of what made me start thinking about it more recently, because these are being talked about. I mean, we can get to that whenever later on, but these aren't ones that you're hearing about on like AM talk radio. It's being talked about on OPB. There was a 2019 mutilations, cluster that was on like All Things Considered on NPR. So it's not just being discussed in like fringe circles. It's getting, I think they sent a journalist out there to interview people, and it's weird enough that actual, I guess, mainstream media outlets are paying attention,
Finally.
which was definitely happening back in the 70s in a big way. But it seems like this is the first time in a while, at least since I've noticed, that it's getting talked about, outside of Crazyville.
Right. Yeah. And that's because the mainstream politicians, again, you can say thanks, Obama,
Oh,
not
yeah.
not sarcastically, because he actually, he talked about it in a serious light, not cattle mutilations necessarily, but the existence of UFOs or alien or extraterrestrials as being a possibility. And
Sure.
yeah, and then the Disclosure Project brought a lot of attention to DC and politicians and I guess somewhat credible people started sniffing around or admitting things, and now it's just slowly the slowest snowball effect ever, but it's become not a fringe topic. It's become, dude, Tucker Carlson has a fucking cattle mutilation show. Do you know this?
My boy Tucker.
Your boy, your fucking boy.
Oh, dude.
He has
How did I
I'd have
miss
to
that?
I'll post a link to it if I can find it, but he has it's new. He has a show about, I don't know if it's like a series or a short mini series or a special or what, but he Tucker Carlson's talking about cattle mutilations.
I'm sure
So,
he's found some way to tie the asshole removal to the Democratic Party.
yeah.
I'm sure, yeah, there's some angle there where he's, I'm sure, if you can somehow politicize a cow's udder being removed, he's my man. He'll do it.
He'll figure out a way to smear a bunch of snowflake liberals
He's like, is it any surprise that this is now happening?
Right.
After Obama left office, what's going on?
Is it any surprise? Yeah. Anyway, I've never seen an episode of Tucker Carlson. Obviously, I can't stand the fucking guy, but I will watch some of his cattle mutilation show just to see what his angle is. I want to know what his angle
is. Oh, I would totally watch it. Just to see what direction he takes it.
It's not going to be honest, that's for sure.
Oh no, he'll blame it on the border. It'll be good.
Oh man, it's gonna.
He'll find some way to make it great. But yeah, I mean, it's being talked about by the people who matter.
Right, Fox News.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so popular. Fox News has shows about it now.
Fox News and NPR are talking about this. Oh, it's fine. God. It's finally hit the mainstream.
Yeah, we're here. We're finally here.
Yeah.
If you want to get into the recent wave of organ mutilations, maybe we should start there and work our way back. Sure. Because it seems like it's a resurgence of the poor cows.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. They thought they were safe, and here we are again, right?
Yeah, there's no safety.
There's no safety.
You know, you would think Eastern Oregon would, you know, there's a lot of places to hide, I guess. But yeah, and this might go back. I'm sure this does go back earlier than what I was researching. But one thing that seemed to stand out when I looked back into the archives, like newspaper archives, trying to find the earliest mentions of this, it seems like they happen in clusters. Mm-hmm. Now that could just be chance. You know, it could be based on the reporting, more people are paying attention. You know, there's lots of ways to like skew the data, but with that, you know, after seeing that, it made this more interesting because these appear to be clustered as well, starting in 2019. And there was the one that I was talking about on All Things Considered on OPB that was the string of mutilations that were found around Pendleton. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly how many, but they were, from the way the reporting seemed to indicate, they were all sharing a similar, I guess, manner of mutilation. So these were ones that were found with the udders removed. There was, according to the person who was interviewed, there was not one drop of blood anywhere, which is kind of a common theme. Yeah. And it doesn't, right. I mean, doesn't make any sense that that would be possible. There were no tracks that were
typical
detectable. And that was, you know, animal tracks, human tracks. And then there was another cluster in that same article that was in Princeton, Oregon. I forgot where that is.
I've never heard of Princeton. Oregon.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gives a whole new meaning to the Pendleton Roundup. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
we could make some really distasteful shirts of mutilated cows in a stack with like a floating UFO above them or something.
Yeah.
And
a UFO with a Satan worshiper on board.
Yeah. Pendleton Roundup. If you guys, for those who don't know, Pendleton Roundup in the Pendleton, Oregon it's a big rodeo.
Yeah.
Every
year. And honestly, cattle mutilation in Pendleton, a little on the nose. That's like
Be expected, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Where else would you find cattle mutilations?
Yeah.
Of course. Pendleton.
Of course.
But I don't remember where Princeton is, but there.
I've never even heard of Princeton, Oregon.
I think it's in central East Oregon, and there was someone who found one on a ranch there that they owned, and
mm-hmm.
I remember the article said the woman who found it, her son was a butcher, I think, and she showed it to him, and he was just like, these are precision cuts,
right?
Like, they're, you know, these look like they were cut by someone who was they're intentional is the term, but
right.
And again, there were no tracks anywhere. So
let's break that down really quick, just for if someone doesn't know the telltale signs of a basic cattle mutilation. Like we've already kind of said all of them, but what's the list of shit that happens to these poor cows that is baffling?
So I guess, yeah, like the phenomenon of cattle mutilation that as we understand it for this topic is it's an aggregate or it's a combination of a bunch of characteristics. So in a, not all of them, but at least I would say at least two or three of them of like a list. So like there's a dead cow with no, I guess, obvious cause of death. So there's no bullet hole. There's no, they're not obviously sick or diseased. There's no blunt force trauma. You know, they didn't get hit by a car. They're just, they're dead. And then there's at least some body parts that look like they were removed in a way that's, again, it's not obviously caused by a predator or a scavenger. So it'll usually be one or more of a certain number. So like the eyes, the tongue, the reproductive organs, the ears, the udder, and the rectum. So it's sometimes several of those or some combination thereof have been removed in a way that doesn't seem to be possible by a coyote chewing it or like a bird, you know, like pecking the eyes out or whatever. Then there are some other variations on that. There were a few that I found back in the 70s where the like the jawbone would have a weird oval cut in it that looked very precise. There were a few where the skull, the forehead had what looked like almost like someone had used a really fine drill to like drill a hole in. It wasn't a bullet hole though. It was very precise and it kind of tapered into the skull. So that's one part of it. That so there's usually sometimes several of those body parts have been removed in a really precise way.
Yeah,
There's
the lips too. I've
that
read
too.
the
Yeah.
lips sometimes are removed.
Yeah. And the ones I listed, I'm sure there's some I'm forgetting, but there's
Any
also,
part that's connected to the head or face has been removed, possibly.
yeah, there were several I found where there was a pattern in one cluster, I think in Kansas, where they found a bunch and they all had the left ear missing.
Like one of the ears. Yeah,
Yeah, but it was
that's
like the
pretty
same
wild.
ear on multiple, and it looked like it was cut, like a straight cut. It's very strange.
That's the thing. These cuts, the term surgical is used
Yeah.
all the time, and I think the word laser gets thrown around a lot
Yep.
because what are they're really fine, straight, like even cauterized cuts, like around whatever section of the cow there, whether it's the udder, the anus, the face, the ear, anywhere on the head, it's
Yeah.
laser precision, and honestly kind of looks like it was cut out with a laser.
Yeah, I mean there were several where, yeah, like you said, it was the wound area has the appearance of being cauterized. And occasionally it's I guess almost like a random cut. Like there were a few where they found a essentially a perfect oval or a perfect circle cut into the abdomen. With just nothing really removed, just like skin and flesh, but the internal organs under that were perfectly, they were completely untouched. So it's very weird. It's like an animal wouldn't just stop eating there, or make a perfect cut. So it's very weird. But so like, that's one part of it is the unusual, I guess, removal or alteration of the corpse. But then there's most times, not always, but there's usually little to no visible blood anywhere, which is extremely hard to account for with all the body parts having been removed.
And sometimes in the snow.
Yeah, I found a few in the snow. There was one that was in snowdrifts, and like blood in snow is, you know, it stands out more than anything. So it's very weird. There are several that. And it's hard to say for sure without like doing a full autopsy, but several of the corpses that were found were said to be completely drained of blood. So again, I don't know how that would even be done. But yeah, so there's usually a lack of blood. There's usually a lack of tracks, animal or human, around the cow, around the area. So those are like the three big, I guess, the three big ones that are almost always present. And then there are other like there are some other, I guess, secondary traits that come up with. There are several reports where the carcass will be untouched by scavengers. Like several of them said coyotes wouldn't come near the carcass at all. So it's, you know, not always, but that is like, there was one of the ones recently in Oregon where the person who found the carcass said there were, the birds were avoiding it, which is, you know, very unusual.
Yeah.
And then there are also, and this is something that I ended up finding in the 70s, was there were several, I think in Kansas and Colorado, where there were reports of, you know, unusual activity in the area. So like there were strange lights, and there was a one cluster where people started seeing unmarked helicopters in the area, and they were very often right around where the corpse was found, either before or after. And they were, people claimed that the helicopters were spotlighting people. It was very weird, and, you know, no explanation of what that could possibly be.
And that could be, and it seems like a lot of the reporting that seems to center around the helicopters is what, like, who's in the helicopters and why are they mutilating cows? But it could be the military.
Sure.
Searching for who mutilated the cows. Like, you know, like it doesn't necessarily have to be them that are doing it. Maybe they are trying to be sneaky as well, trying to find who did it because they know about it. And they're like, what, they're trying to be fucking sneaky. And there's rumors of silent helicopters, which is so silly.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you sent me that link to Strange Harvest by Linda Moulton Howe, and they brought in those Cobra helicopters, and they're like said to be known to be silent, and they're obviously not because they're fucking helicopters and they can't be silent.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
They're quiet for helicopters, but
sure. They're not going to be, they're not going to be totally quiet. And especially in the '70s, in the middle of, you know, Kansas farm country, or maybe that's where you would test a silent helicopter. Who knows?
Maybe.
But there were a few explanations for the helicopters too. There were some people who were saying that it was just happenstance. There was coincidence. Some people thought that they were being used by the people doing the cattle mutilation. Some people thought that they were military, and that the military were the ones doing the mutilations as some sort of experiment. So, you know, but there was never any, you know, it's very similar to like a UFO sighting where there's competing theories, but there's never, you know, you're not going to, like, I think in one of the Kansas cases, they contacted, I think, like an air traffic control or a base nearby. And I don't know. I don't think they had any record of it. So kind of similar, you know, is it the government? Is it some, you know, I can't imagine aliens would be flying a helicopter, but, you know, maybe that's the best way to blend in. I don't know.
Yeah, man. No. It's like a cool 80s alien movie. They're trying to blend in, and they're like, wear human clothes and try to drive a car.
Sure.
But in this case, it's a helicopter, and they think they're being normal, but they're, you know,
that's exactly something in alien
in the 80s.
In the 80s. Yeah. With huge sunglasses and a bad suit coat.
Those are the signs, and there are usually some sightings of lights, sometimes orange lights, multiple lights, or helicopters, either the night of or the week of or something around the time these mutilations are found. There's a lot, I don't know what the percentage is, but there is a lot of stuff in the sky, which is always. That's pretty, you know, it's like we said, it's either people not of this earth, or it is people of this earth, or it's people of this earth looking for people not of this earth. And it's just the ongoing search and secret battle in the skies that, you know, us mere street dwelling humans, street walking cheetahs, just get to witness and talk about. And we just see lights in the sky and we have no explanation for them.
Yeah. It's been going on forever. It's hard to say. I think there was like a recreation of what some of the lights looked like in Strange Harvest, which I don't know, it was pretty interesting because it wasn't really clear in the newspaper archives what people were seeing. But yeah, that was present in several. And there was also, I can't remember if it was in Strange Harvest, but in one of the early Coast to Coast AM appearances by Linda Moulton Howe, she talked about some of the tissue samples from one of the early mutilations was sent to, I forgot what lab it was sent to, like a forensics lab in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And the tissue samples forensically showed that it was cut with a sharp object and that it showed that the hemoglobin in the samples had been heated to a very high temperature. So I thought that was interesting because that kind of lends support to the laser theory that there was some sort of high energy, high temperature,
right?
Something that was cauterizing or otherwise like affecting the tissue sample.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be pretty precise because you figure if you're cutting into someone's head with a laser, but only going skin deep and not affecting the bone beneath and blasting through that as well, like they're just taking the skin off and like the muscle and the fat and stuff,
Yeah.
So that's also interesting. Are there any marks on the bones or chips on the bones or lines on the bone from blades or, I don't know.
The only one I saw, the only thing I found that I can remember were there were a few cases where I think I mentioned earlier, there were unexplained like oval or circular cuts made in the jawbone of one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, what would do that, it's even more difficult to account for precision, like indentations in bone than it is for flesh, just because of how difficult, I guess, that would be to do. I don't know. It's weird. Some of the, there was a lot, she covered a lot in those Coast to Coast episodes and there's, it's way too much to get into. But I guess the takeaway for me was that there, in the newspaper articles back in the 70s, there was a lot of people saying we need to get these looked at. And there was a period of time where a bunch of carcasses were sent to, I think like over 20 of them were sent to some like the state veterinarian in one of the states, Kansas or maybe Nebraska. And they came back. Some of them were diseased. Some of them, whatever. A few of them came back unexplained. But the ones that were mentioned in Linda Moulton Howe's research were the first ones I found where they weren't able to say what happened, but it was unusual and didn't seem to represent any kind of a predator. So, that's something,
right?
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know what it is, but
no one seems to know what it is, but. There is a list of natural causes that a lot of veterinarians and other forensic science type people explain away the things that happen to these cows, and like the missing parts like lips and mouth and anus and whatever, they're explained away as a contraction of missing / damaged areas due to dehydration or the acts of small scavengers and burrowing parasites seeking to enter or consume the body in areas where skin is at its thinnest.
It could be.
Yeah. And then the missing eyes and organs could be blowflies or vultures. They say the absence of blood is blood pulling pooling in the lowest points in the body, where it'll break down to its basic organic components, and blood that is external to the body or in the area of a wound would wound being consumed by insects or reduced by solar desiccation. I don't know, man. In the snow, fuck that. That is it. No. It's consumed by insects in the dirt. Man, fuck no, fuck that. I mean, maybe a little bit, but all of it, I don't buy that. Surgical incisions in the skin are explained as tears in the skin created when it's stretched by post-mortem bloat and or as dehydration causes the animal's hide to shrink and split, often in linear cuts, or incisions caused by scavengers or predators. Yeah, possibly exacerbated by the aforementioned post-mortem tears in the skin.
I mean, all possible explanation. There was also a guy in Eastern Oregon who said that he thought that someone should take a Geiger counter and there would be radiation. And he said the number one thing on the list there is the North Vietnamese Army. So I don't know what that means, but that was another theory. And that's a very...
Wait. Did I miss something? He thinks it's the North Vietnamese Army?
That's what he said. I just thought that was hilarious.
Mutilating American cows.
I mean, at least he thinks they're responsible for the radiation.
Oh, just the radiation?
You know what? He didn't get into a lot of detail.
Man, but, that'd be fucking epic that's what they were doing post-war. Like,
I mean, if you want to talk about revenge, there's a Newsweek article from 2019 that kind of goes over, you know, it's just like another basic general coverage of the 2019 mutilations. So it's in there. North Vietnamese Army.
The Cao Chi Minh Trail.
There you go. And then the comments in that article are like, yeah, it's CIA. It's, you know.
There's a lot of explanations. There's a lot.
Yeah, there's no shortage of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then with the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, there's obviously, I mean, there's skinwalkers. There's the Terry Sherman who lost a bunch of cattle. You know, he saw a wolf-like creature, you know, a massive, three times the size of a normal wolf-like creature on his property. That was bulletproof. That was apparently possibly mutilating cows. And then someone else on the ranch saw what is explained as an odd humanoid creature with piercing yellow eyes spying on him from a tree. But I don't know if you've read Hunt for the Skinwalker by George Knapp, but
no, I haven't really.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I've never really gotten into the whole Skinwalker. I just haven't really put the time in. I know about it.
It's something.
I remember hearing about it on Art Bell several times, but yeah, I never read the book. I like George Knapp. He does a good job. You know, he's a thorough researcher, and he seems like he's, you know, somewhat skeptical. So I've always liked listening to him.
He's a real newsman.
Yeah,
but he's hanging out with that. He's hanging out with that like weird hipster, fucking tattooed ufologist guy that is kind of annoying. I forget his name. I don't want to say someone else's name by mistake, but he's like the Dave Grohl of ufology. I just say that in the sense that every movie he makes is centered around him somehow.
Oh, of course.
You know, shout out Dave Grohl. But
your favorite.
My favorite. Well, I don't hate Dave Grohl. I just hate how everything's about him that he makes. He makes a lot of documentaries about cool stuff, but somehow always end up about him or his band. I don't just like
I'm trying to think of who this tattooed ufologist is.
I forget his name. Corbel James. I don't fucking know. He made the Bob Lazar documentary.
Oh, that guy.
A lot.
Yeah.
Too much.
Dave Grohl. The UFO Dave Grohl.
Yeah, that guy. whatever his name is. Knapp's hanging out with that guy a lot.
That's a bad influence.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like, yeah. Knapp, come on, man. Don't be fooled by the tattoos and the beard. Just keep doing your Knapp thing, bud. We trust you. You don't need you can age gracefully without some fucking wannabe ruining you.
That'd be awesome if George Knapp has got a ton of tattoos, just sleeves. He's like, this is what it's gonna take to get people to pay attention.
This is what he gets face tats. He starts auto-tuning his voice with his during his radio show.
Oh, dude, that'd be so sick.
I mean, hey, I might enjoy that. Talk about the Napster.
Yeah, dude. You want to talk about Skinwalker Ranch at the, you know, the Juggalo gathering? That's the way to go. You just get the face tats.
Face paint.
Oh, dude.
Face tats.
The crossover I never knew.
Face paint over the George Knapp beard classic. You know,
just I love him. Love you, George.
Maybe if he doesn't want to get tattoos, maybe you can get those like Ed Hardy or whatever fucking long sleeve shirts that look like you have full sleeves.
Oh yeah. That's a good look.
Remember what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
But anyway. So there's a lot of skepticism from these real life science guys and gals. There is this theory that, man, I can't remember what article this came from, but you know, this in the 70s, especially 1975, cattle mutilations were like fucking peaking.
Yeah,
they were that 75, right? Am I wrong? Is that the kind of the biggest year?
I think so. They pretty much started. The earliest article I was able to find was in 73 in Kansas, and it was weird. It was an article about people getting together to talk about the cattle mutilation. It was like area lawmen discuss cattle deaths, and it was sheriffs and officials from like six different counties in Kansas getting like together to talk about it.
It seems like Kansas and Colorado were kind of the epicenters of the original reports.
I think that seems fair. Kansas was where it seems like it all started, and then they were in Missouri, Nebraska, Colorado, and then eventually it seemed like a different cluster moved down into Texas. So like the early ones were just saying there's a series of cattle mutilations, and the only defining thing that was being discussed was that we're seeing several cattle with only the sex organs removed. And then after the meeting, the papers in like Kansas and Missouri started blowing up. Mm-hmm. And there were articles like, you know, there was one in Salina, Kansas. It was like cattle killings baffle officers. Mystery surrounds cattle killed in central Kansas. And it was, you know, it started evolving where you had missing eyes, a missing tongue. And then they started saying, you know, some of them looked like they had been butchered, or the people or whoever did this they were saying like, it's a very clean job. So it actually seemed like in some of the early cases that they thought the whoever was doing it was taking meat. Some of it might've been poaching, which totally does happen, but see if I can send you the article. I don't know, I can't remember if I did, but they were saying that it was a cattle sex maniac. That was like one sheriff was referring to it as a cattle sex maniac. Yeah, I don't know where the sex came from, but and then pretty much immediately they started blaming it on cults. And there was one sheriff, and he said, when they let witches practice over at the state industrial reformatory, there's no telling what will happen. That was his boy. Quote.
See, so like, this,
it's cults.
This gives a whole new twist on The Wizard of Oz for me, my favorite movie. Because first off, Kansas. Second off, witches. Third off, there's a cow in the Twister when she's getting taken off to Munchkinland there. That's a comic relief moment there. But there's a cow spinning around, in the tornado. And you got to wonder, is that cow being rescued? Is it rising like from the smays of the fucking cattle mutilation craze in Kansas and getting taken away to a land where it's going to be safe?
I can't say for sure, but if you look at the cow, it has its ears and its asshole. So
yeah, man,
there was some like comic relief though. Like some of the, there was another article that said, and this was in Kansas also, it said law enforcement and local farmers scatter blame among sex deviants, hippies, or a member of a religious cult. I love that they threw hippies in there. Like
everything was, yeah. What year was that?
I think that one was from 73 also.
Yeah, and hippies were still the enemy.
Yeah.
Manson, it's amazing. It was a post-Manson hippie hate.
Yeah. It really does. It and you see this a lot in like the other articles where, and I grew up in a really rural area in the middle of nowhere. So like, I don't know. I realize how like when you're that far removed from everything, you have a tendency to be very out of touch. And this was in the 70s. So, but it's just amazing that you would be on a ranch and just find a cow and be like, this cow's asshole was taken out. So it's probably hippies. Like the leap there is amazing. And
right.
It's, you know, it's just this absolute nonsense. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but the hippies, the blaming the hippies kind of like took a backseat to cults. So like the satanic cult was the number one culprit for most people pretty much throughout the 70s, at least until the UFO angle started showing up. Like there were a bunch of instances, you know, these kept going on and the articles started multiplying. They were in Missouri, Nebraska, Texas. You know, people started seeing the helicopters and everything, but throughout that whole sequence of mutilations through at least the first half of the 70s, there was like an article that said the Bible Belt is being unbuckled by Satanists.
Unbuckled.
And, yeah. And it said, there was one where the county attorney was, he was interviewing a former member of a satanic cult who confirmed that this looks like the work of a cult. And then there were a couple articles where they were interviewing former cult members, and they would get like, in the one that were interviewing former cult members, they got weirdly specific in one of them, and they described the mutilations to a quote unquote former Satanist. And he said, this looks like it's being done by a black witchcraft coven out of Dallas.
Oh, so like Dallas, specifically.
Yeah, classic Dallas, you know, mm-hmm. tradecraft. Mm-hmm. They always take the nipples and the
so
asshole.
Dallas. Yeah, that's so Dallas.
That's but yeah, I mean, there were a bunch of these, you know, like a bunch of them where people were convinced that they were cults.
So it started out blaming hippie sex cults, and then it moved into the satanic panic.
Yeah.
Satan worshiping cults.
Mm-hmm.
At
least from about 73. And then in 75 was the first article I found where people started having like an extraterrestrial link. And there were a few, I think there was one in Minnesota where there was a guy who claimed that he said he had ruled out any involvement by religious groups. And he had rock solid evidence that it was an alien connection somehow.
What was it? What's his evidence, man? We need to know.
He said, he talked to a Wisconsin police officer who saw a bright light near one of the mutilations. That was his evidence.
Cops, man.
Yeah. He also said
they always see something.
He also said he was helping the U.S. space program with an invention. So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
He might have been read into some programs. That guy actually was very interesting. I could do an episode about this dude, Terry Mitchell. He's a weird inventor.
Okay.
Terry Mitchell is weird. He's a weird inventor who made Bigfoot and Loch Ness documentaries. And then he moved to Bellingham and became an inventor and made a bunch of weird. He he made this weird game called, I can't remember the name. It was some weird, like a rubber band ball game. And he like sold it and started making college teams out of it. They were like college teams were competing. I found a bunch of articles about this guy. I just went off in this crazy tangent.
Jesus. But, all right.
Yeah. Terry Mitchell. Yeah, Terry interesting Mitchell. Fella.
Sounds yeah. like a fucking life right there.
Yeah. He's a weird guy. But yeah, the, as soon as the UFO, as soon as the UFO angle started, there were some big write-ups. Like there was a big one in Esquire called Rippers of the Range that was like, you know, a long form journalist piece. New York Times did one. There was one called Kevin Randall wrote one called The Killer Cult Terrorizing Mid-America. So there's all these, you know,
I like
detailed write-ups.
I like the idea of, what is it, Rippers of the Range unbuckling the Bible belt.
Yeah. There's some good pull quotes, man. They're,
man, just real. That's some, yeah. good, that's some juicy mm-hmm. writing right there.
Oh, it's good. There's these articles are fascinating to go through because the quotes from people, like the quotes from law enforcement are just, they're just, there's some unbelievable stuff in there.
Truly unbelievable.
Yeah. I also forgot that Terry Mitchell guy. Mm-hmm. He tried to sue Jimmy Carter for $51 million because he said matchbooks were unsafe and the government was preventing them from being made safe. It's an interesting guy.
He might have won that lawsuit nowadays. I mean, who knows?
He might have. Yeah. I mean,
they are unsafe.
Didn't Jimmy Carter see a UFO? Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Jimmy Carter's the UFO prez, man. That's our guy.
Yeah.
He's the go-to guy. He's the first-hand experiencer.
Yeah.
But that might be why he only had the one term, you know? I don't know.
Hey, it could be.
Maybe.
So throwback to our last episode that we did. Mm-hmm. We talked about Hynek a lot.
Right.
He factors into the cattle mutilation thing.
Oh, of course. How so?
So people were obsessed with cults. And so this guy, Kenneth Bankston, shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a prisoner at either a Colorado or a Kansas prison. And he starts talking and saying, he basically starts saying that he used to be in a cult. And people are desperate to hear this. And so at some point he basically says, I want to talk, but I want to be taken and put into a less secure, more safe prison, which they do for a while anyway, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they start interviewing them and he's telling them like absolutely what they want to hear. He's saying that the cattle mutilations are actually a prelude to human sacrifice.
Oh,
like God. they're just getting warmed up and people are, and this is exactly what, you know, the entire Midwest is afraid of at this point. Mm-hmm. So Hynek has his investigative unit and he actually sent an investigator to talk to this guy. He ended up, you know, basically he wanted to try to see if there was any UFO angle. But yeah, the guy, Kenneth Bankston is the guy. I mean, he was a complete grifter, just making shit up. But very interesting. He basically took people for a ride and, you know, convinced researchers that he was legitimately a former Satanist who was giving them this like critical insight. They eventually realized he was completely full of shit and had no, he was just making stuff up to basically, but he had a couple people who were high up in law enforcement. I think even a state senator at one point was like, this is the guy, he's going to crack the case for us. Really interesting guy. I mean, just like too much to get into, but he, you know, fascinating guy to look into. And yeah, like I said, I mean, everything was about cults. So
Right. It just goes to show, if you tell people who have an agenda what they want to hear, they will bring you along with them and use you and tout you as like their pet that had, you know, like, this is your living proof that I'm right. And then it turns out they're just playing you and you're a fucking sucker and you're an idiot and you don't do, you know, you don't vet people because you're so desperate for attention. So I want to be mad at this Kenneth Bankston guy, but it seems like he exposed a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know, and like I think I like mentioned earlier, there were people who were anonymously quoted in these articles as, you know, former, you know, the guy who said this is a cult from Dallas. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are all completely full of shit. That's just, you know, obviously, you know, most of us are old enough to have grown up when people were terrified of Satanists in the 80s, and that all later turned out to be, you know, almost completely nonsense. You know, so it's just part of that whole preying on people being terrified. I think he was the guy who was saying that he actually was specifically naming the group. They were called the Sons of Satan, which is, you know, could have came up with something better, I guess. He sent a
pretty good motorcycle club name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but he initially came onto the scene. He wrote to this UFO investigator named Jerome Clark.
Oh yeah.
I had heard his name before this. He actually wrote one of the early cattle mutilation articles for Fate magazine. I couldn't find the copy though, but it was Fate magazine, 1973. So he was on it pretty much right from the jump. So the guy that Bankston talked to was Donald Flickinger. Mm-hmm. Flickinger. And he apparently was working with Hynek at the Center for UFO Studies. That's what it was called.
Okay.
So, and I think Flickinger was a ATF agent who was kind of assisting Hynek and going out into the field, interviewing people. I don't know why an ATF agent was involved with UFO stuff, but
I think the ATF was heavily involved for a while with these investigations.
They were involved in the mutilation, the cattle mutilations.
The mutilations, yeah. Like the ATF was like all over this shit for some reason. I don't know.
That was one of the interesting.
Why? Why was that?
I don't know.
Alcohol, tobacco, firearms. Like what? What
it's,
was the?
Yeah. It's a weird link that I would actually like to look into further. So another angle on the whole mutilation phenomenon that was happening in the 70s. There were, you know, if you read the articles as the years go on, there are growing calls eventually by like state senators and then finally an actual, I think, U.S. senator to get the FBI involved. They're basically saying this is stretched state law enforcement to the point where it's out of our league.
Mm-hmm.
So they're asking the FBI to get involved. And the FBI keeps coming back and saying this, we don't have any jurisdiction over this. This is a state. It's a state issue. Like, we don't investigate dead livestock in Kansas, which is, you know, true. It's not, you know, FBI is a federal agency. So, but they kept sending requests up the chain. And then eventually I think there was enough pressure from a senator to finally get the FBI to say, so that they angled it by saying, okay, some of these have happened on Indian reservations. And I guess technically the FBI has jurisdiction over certain reservation crime.
Mm-hmm.
Like the FBI gets involved. So they said, the FBI finally said they would investigate based on the reservation connection. And they appointed a guy, they appointed an agent to look into this, and he was a guy who had just retired. So they basically were like, okay, you get this one. The FBI started looking into it in, I think, 79. And there are a few articles
in New Mexico, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't remember which reservation it was specifically, but they finally said, okay, we're going to look into this. There's a task force. And they looked into it. And as far as I could tell, again, this is going back through old archival stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they looked into it from the angle that we're going to wait and see if any further mutilations happen on the reservation for a certain time frame, and nothing happened.
And that was it.
That was it. So there was, so in anyone who's like dug into cattle mutilation stuff, there is, at some point, someone did a Freedom of Information Act request to the FBI to get release of documents that they had. So there's a FOIA archive of the FBI investigation that you can look at.
Oh, and
it's not like, it didn't seem like any of it was redacted. I'm not even sure if it was actually classified. It was just in their archives, and they released it. It's on the FBI website.
Well, all I've read from it is on January 15th, 1980, the Bureau closed the investigation, putting out a statement saying that, quote, none of the reported cases has involved what appear to be mutilations by other than common predators, unquote.
That was it.
Yeah, that was their determination.
Yeah, they did. And if you look at the FBI archives, if you look at the Freedom of Information Act, you know, what was given after that request, it's like pretty underwhelming. It's a lot of it is procedural.
Well, good, you know? Good criminals know when to lay low. They know when they're being watched.
Yeah.
Especially if they're like omniscient extraterrestrials, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
You want to go into hiding when the feds get involved.
They're like, oh yeah, we know when they're coming.
Yeah.
We're 17 light years ahead of everyone. So
yeah,
we're going to let you play this one out and think we're not doing anything. And then when you come out with your little paper saying we ain't doing shit, we're going to go keep doing shit. Fucking with your brains.
Keep collecting eyes.
there
was...
perfecting it's like alien you know, like medical school, surgery school. It's like,
yeah,
these,
I mean,
these cows are just cadavers to work on, for, you know,
that is, I think I have seen that theory advanced before, like that exact,
it could, I mean, why not, I mean,
sure,
why not, I mean, it could be I mean, what if it's not experimentation from aliens trying to, you know, figure out what is living on the surface of Earth, knowing that taking humans is bad because we talk too much and people miss us and stuff. So you can, you know, you can kill cows,
yeah,
and just get people talking. But I mean, I forgot where I was going with that, but yeah, it can, whatever, man, you talk. I forget exactly what I was going to say.
I've done that a few times during this episode. The interesting thing about the, and this is like a funny, I don't know, maybe not funny, but it's like a typical, if you look at declassified government documents or freedom of information stuff, the FBI files about this are so, it's just so much like administrative and bureaucratic, like letters from one field office to another, re-describing what's happening. They're sending each other literal like photocopies of the newspaper articles. Like, mm-hmm. here's the thing, one field office is sending the other field office a badly photocopied copy of Rippers of the Range. Like, they're just sending each other what they have. And then there's police reports. And then finally, like, the only active, like even remotely interested. So there was a sighting that, and I think I might have sent you the article or like a picture of it. There was a test done. There was a few cattle were found that had been mutilated, and there was a UFO sighting right nearby. And so people, there had been like a test that was done by, I think, a local lab, and they had found this is in quotes, a glittery substance on the carcasses. And they had also found some weird deposits of some kind, like on top of a guy's truck. So they were like, they wanted to analyze what that was. And so the local crime lab or the local chemist or whoever it was, they said it was concentrated potassium and magnesium. And there was like a weird UFO sighting.
Electrolytes.
Potassium and magnesium. So
what is electrolytes? I mentioned this. electrolyte tabs. I take them every day. It's potassium, magnesium, and I think calcium. That's it. Three.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah. That's electrolytes.
The FBI analyzed the same stuff, and it was acrylic paint. So.
Oh, yum.
That's in the FOIA, and it's just like, damn, that's how it ends. So that kind of ends the whole 70s, though. The FBI report comes out. I think the FBI investigation ends in 1980. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence. They can't say it's anything except predators or disease. A lot of people got mad. There were some really funny and angry letters to the editors in a few papers of people just shitting on the FBI. And
it's like a half-assed effort or whatever.
It's the same thing as swamp gas. It's the same.
Yeah, it's the same thing as what Blue Book's agenda seemed to be, which was talk it down, explain it away, don't make a big deal out of it, don't let on that it's actually a thing. Let's come up with stupid excuses. So.
Well, that's what you would expect from a government investigation. Right. So, you know, it's either that's actually what's happening or it's a cover up. That's right. Always, you know, it's the same in anything like this.
I think that's the point I was trying to make when I lost my train of thought is like, it's either, surgery, alien surgery school, or it's legit human psychopaths that are, right. But how many of them can there possibly be that do it this often in this many states or this many places around the world? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, there can't be that many psychotic humans that do the same exact thing in the same exact way. And of course there's copycats everywhere, but you know, not everyone's going to be that good all the time. So it's just, it could be humans. It could be weirdos. It could be cultists. It could be Satanists sometimes. But
it doesn't have to all be.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But it is just interesting that.
Well, there was some of the ones in Oregon. You can't
explain it away as just one fucking thing.
Right. One of the ones that happened in 2019 in Oregon was on a ranch near Burns. Mm-hmm. And it's like this ranch was. So it's 140,000 acre ranch, which is like. I think Chicago is 150,000 acres. It's like almost as big as Chicago. This is like a giant ranch.
And that's just in Harney County, Eastern Oregon, dust flying everywhere.
And they found five bulls there with the tongues and genitals precisely removed. But there was also like, it takes days to find these cows.
Yeah.
Who could locate these and get to them and do
walk
this
around Chicago and try to find some cows. You know,
it's so remote and it's such a, there was a cluster of cases in Canada. I think she talked about it in Strange Harvest, or like some of the screenshots of newspapers that the RCMP was investigating them. Mm-hmm. And from what I was able to understand, it looks like they came to the conclusion that it was human caused, but they weren't 100% sure what the origin of the human activity was. Some people were saying cults. This was in Canada also. So it's like a cross border who knows? But it can't, it doesn't seem to be possible that it would just be a single explanation that, even though these all have similar characteristics, body parts removed,
Right.
people literally would have had to be flying around crossing borders by helicopter
Right.
or be in spaceships,
Or being
I don't know.
spaceships. It's so, yeah, it's just the vastness of the activity and the precision and consistency of it is, you can't explain that away as human activity unless it's just this secret cult with thousands of members that train on how to mutilate animals this in such a manner. Did you hear about this the Millikan organ thing? Did you hear about this?
I don't think so.
This was I kind of came across it, just fucking around. But Millikan organ, which is, I believe is in between Bend and Burns,
Okay.
Central Eastern Oregon. There was 11 dead Holstein calves that were skinned and mutilated, that were like dumped somewhere out there and found.
When was this?
2000 is the article I found, so 22 years ago.
Wow, crazy. I had not heard about that one.
Yeah, a vet performed a necropsy on two of the animals, and their sex organs had been removed, and they had an unusually low level of blood in their bodies. So typical stuff. They sent tissue samples to Oregon State University, but the animals had likely been dead for several days, so they didn't really find anything there. A rancher found four of the dead calves Saturday, a couple miles north of Highway 20, which is takes you from Bend to Burns. And Sunday, an RV user found the other seven about a mile farther north. It's pretty fucking
Crazy.
crazy, man. Yeah. So these calves were found just a couple miles from where 14 dead cattle and a pig with its legs cut off were found last March, meaning I guess March of 1999. And of course, there's like, in this article says there's theories of satanic cults and aliens. But this guy, this I think of this vet, says that there's a logical explanation. And he says, I'm thinking it's probably cattle that died after calving. Oh, and here's a thing that I did
All
not
right.
know. Here's a thing that I did not know that is interesting. Sometimes ranchers will take the skin of a dead calf and drape it over another so the mother can identify with the scent. And he says, this Lewis guy says, my guess is that's what happened here. A lot of people are coming out of the woodwork on stuff like this, and he says he's not buying into it. He thinks it was just like natural human rancher fucking weird activity where
That would be
you.
such a crazy thing to lie about, especially with dozens of other ranchers. Like,
But the thing about skinning a calf and like putting this draping the skin over another one to have the mom recognize it, I didn't know. That would explain some skinned calves,
I mean that. I've never heard that before.
But like, how precise are they being when they're doing it? And they're not just
Right.
cutting off the fucking face, I'm sure, or the part of the udder or the anus.
Yeah, I mean, listen, put throw it in the pot with the other possible explanations, I guess. That's like, sometimes they you know, make a skin mask out of the cat. I don't know. That's a crazy thing this vet's coming up with, for all I know.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, that's another Oregon story that happened. And
well, the thing about the Oregon stuff is, like, this is still, like, the most recent one I found is from, like, most recent incidences are from March of this year. So this is, like, very current. And, you know, I can't imagine it's going to just stop happening. Right. But I guess, like, the thing that I'm naturally kind of a skeptical person about a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see something like this, I'm always inclined to think of what would cause this naturally. But I also, I don't know, I guess I also put a lot of weight on localized knowledge or specific knowledge. So, you know, someone who is a rancher, it has a very good idea of what a normal dead cow looks like. And so for someone who, you know, has spent decades seeing dead cows and being like, oh, there's a dead cow. And then to see one and be like, holy shit, I have to call the police.
Right.
That to me carries a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Especially for sure.
Absolutely.
When a lot of other ranchers also are like, hey, I found one too. And it, you know, is so crazy. It's so crazy that I'm willing to let myself be, you know, ridiculed to bring this up.
That's how I feel about people who say that they saw a UFO, and especially a lot of abductees. It's the same thing. It's, you have so much more to lose than to gain by coming out with something like that. So,
right. Yeah, exactly.
It has to be extraordinary.
Sure.
So, yeah, any rancher that comes forth with a story of a cow mutilated in such a insane way that they actually reached out to authorities and were willing to talk to reporters, that's significant.
Yeah, and there's nothing to gain by it either.
No.
That's the other, there's no, you know, you're not going to get a ton of notoriety from saying this.
You get
the
more
one that
shit.
Actually...
You
yeah,
more
the one
shit
that
than anything.
I just found the guy. Yeah, the one that was the most interesting to me, like on that angle. So there's a guy in the documentary Strange Harvest who has a livestock removal service. Like his entire job is picking up dead cows mm-hmm. and horses. So he sees probably literally thousands of dead livestock.
Right.
And he was scared. Like terrified when he saw these.
That's
like
all he sees is dead livestock.
Yeah, and he
and
saw
if
these
he's
mutilations.
Blown away, then that says something.
Yeah, he said that you know, in terms of what you know, and again, this guy, he's picking up carcasses, so he sees the normal way a cow would die or a horse mm-hmm. or whatever. And he was pretty specific in that he thought the incisions looked like they had been burned or cauterized. So. Unusual. Predators right. don't do that. Scavengers don't do that. Maybe if it's baking in the hot sun, I don't know. But again, someone who's 9 to 5 is seeing dead livestock, seeing one and saying, this is insane. Like this isn't normal.
Right.
That's a big, you know, that carries a lot of weight, I guess, for me.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good way to look at it is you can think all you want. But you take an expert's opinion for what it's worth. And for someone who has seen literally thousands, possibly tens of thousands more dead livestock than you.
And right. I'm going to go ahead and
they think it's weird.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to defer to that motherfucker's opinion.
Yeah.
Rather than my own. Like if they think if they think it's normal, I'd say okay. I believe it's normal. If they
I'm at least gonna really, listen.
Yeah. If they think it's real strange, I'm gonna be inclined to believe it's real strange. Because
right.
this very experienced person says it was strange.
It's the same, it's pretty much the same for me when pilots see UFOs. someone who spends most of their life in the sky and sees what is in the sky all the time and sees planes all the time and sees how they move and then sees something that like freaks them the fuck out. I'm going to, you know, that carries a lot of weight. So I don't know. I'm super interested to see where this goes. I don't think there will ever be, you know, the smoking gun on this. I don't think they're ever going to be like, we cracked the case, you know, it hasn't happened by now. So
right. Yeah, I mean, there has to be video evidence of the thing. I mean, and even then people will still be skeptical because, the effects are so good right now. It could be a hoax. It could be whatever. I mean, people don't believe anything anymore.
Be a deep fake.
Super, super deep. But when was the last one you looked into that happened in Oregon? When was the latest one?
There was an article in the LeGrand Observer from March 14th.
So like northeastern Oregon?
Well, LeGrand is in northeastern Oregon. You know, it's getting up toward the border with Idaho. And it was in, so this is in the LeGrand Observer, but it's referring to a mutilation that happened in John Day.
Okay.
So more central Oregon.
Like central eastern Oregon.
Yeah. It was in Bear Valley near John Day. So again, you know, mutilated bull, testicles, scrotum, tongue, and lips precisely removed. No tracks anywhere.
The no tracks thing is
no blood.
Unreal. Yeah. No tracks, no blood. Over and over again. In every kind of circumstance, every kind of terrain, every kind of weather, no blood, no tracks.
Yeah, so, I mean it's no footprints, no tire tracks, no fingerprints, little of any spilled blood, no visible puncture wounds, no bullets, no strangulation marks. So
how?
Yeah. It's the same formula.
Right.
And it's the same thing where, again, some guy in John Day who, you know, who maybe hasn't even heard of this phenomenon happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like not everyone just knows about this shit.
You don't think they talk about this at the cattle conventions? They all get together and like, you know, Los Angeles or something and
have their
big convention and talk shop.
Yeah. Oh, you had missing nipples? Oh yeah, we had a missing ear.
Just imagine that convention. You get 100 ranchers from around the world in a fucking room and just pose the question, like, I mean, what have you seen? What have you experienced? And just film the fucking thing, and it will get very interesting, very fast, I bet.
Yeah. I bet they've seen all kinds of shit, honestly. Like, I wouldn't even specify cattle mutilation. Just like, hey, what weird stuff have you seen in the middle of nowhere?
Right. Very true.
Anything. At night.
Right.
In the sky. Yeah. Just go off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the documentary I want to see.
Well, now we know what our plan is for the next decade. Let's get funding.
Start funding.
Yeah, let's get some funding. Hey, I heard people like to do a lot of things on like GoFundMe. Maybe if we just ask for money, people will give it to us.
That seems to be how it works.
Yeah.
People fund all kinds of shit.
And maybe we'll make the movie. Maybe we won't.
But I think George Knapp would get involved.
He'd have to.
Yeah. George, you'd be like, George, you don't have a choice.
He's known for napping, but he's not known for sleeping. You know,
he
would not sleep on this.
No.
He would, you know, he might hit the snooze button a couple times, but he'll come around.
Yeah. Once he realized we were serious, he would be like, all right, gentlemen, I'm in.
He'd be like, mm-hmm. I gotta leave this douchey bearded tattooed barber shop.
Dude, I gotta know who this guy is.
Who probably smells like real shitty cologne. We gotta ditch this guy, and I gotta hang out with Jason and Kev and figure out this cattle mutilation game with our massive GoFundMe funds.
These gentlemen have put together $5,000.
We got
and an iPhone. All right, let's do this.
We're going to shoot it on an iPhone and stay at a budget six motel for 2 days. And that'll be, it's a 2 day shoot.
The money. If you look up George Knapp tattoo, all that comes up is this guy who got kicked out of the Marines named Daniel Knapp for having a tattoo. This is not what I want to Google. Sergeant Daniel Knapp. Shout out to Daniel. Well, I was hoping that I would find someone with an actual tattoo of George Knapp.
Oh, it might exist in Nevada. Yeah. I mean, he's the Area 51 guy. He's got to have some,
yeah,
hardcore followers, Mr. Knapp.
Yeah, I haven't seen one yet, but you know, I'm sure this one. There's got to be some good Art Bell tattoos out there.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, I'm going to throw it out here. I really feel like George Knapp should have taken over full time for Art Bell, but I know George Knapp.
Absolutely.
George Knapp's got his own thing. He's in his own lane. He's not a full time radio host. I get it. But
yeah,
he could have at least taken over, I don't know, 3-4 days a week.
I'd still be listening.
I can't listen anymore.
Yeah, man. Art Bell, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
I'm glad you got to take the, you know, the pilgrimage.
Yeah.
You got to go to the spot.
Yeah. That's
very cool.
You sent me his home address after we had already left. And so I still have another pilgrimage to make because I went to the little plaque in the park, and I went to his, him and Ramona's, grave site. But I didn't go to the house because I didn't know where it was. But that's where the tragic happens. The magic happens. That's where
he lived. His house is on. It looks like it's on kind of like I guess technically like a cul-de-sac, but it's in the middle of the desert, and it's just surrounded by the biggest array of ham radio antennas. It's crazy.
I've seen pictures. I was like, I got it. If I pass it, it's crazy, I'll notice it.
He has like, I don't know, I'm not going to get into radio stuff, but he has, it almost looks like the entire property is surrounded by one giant wire antenna. It's crazy. It's one of the craziest antenna setups I've ever seen, which makes perfect sense.
I don't understand it as much as you do, but he broadcasts all over the world from there. So
yeah,
he had to have,
well, he was doing, when he was broadcasting from home, he was doing a direct feed to KNYE, to like the Kingdom of Nye station. Mm-hmm. And then that radio station was doing the broadcast.
Okay.
But his ham radio, like his amateur ham radio setup at home, was crazy. I mean, it's, if you look at it on, like, if you look at his house on the Google Street View, it's, you know, it looks like he has antennas in his neighbor's yard. I don't know if that's technically, I would not be surprised, but yeah, must have been a wild fucking guy to live next to.
Yeah.
I hope you get to see it someday.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I'll get back there.
Yeah,
I have family in Nevada, so I'll get back down there sometime.
Hell yeah!
But so rounding this thing up, talk about a roundup. So I guess what's your final determination? What do you think? What do you think? Who's the culprit? What do you think's happening?
If I had to put money on it, oh man. In the absence of any good forensic like conclusive forensic evidence, I'm inclined just kind of naturally to think that there is some weird natural phenomenon that causes this.
Weird and I say, natural.
There's some previously unknown or unexplained thing that happens during. Now, obviously, this can't account for all of it. The thing is, nothing none of the explanations can account for all of these. So I'm inclined to think that most of these, let me put it this way. I think most of these are natural in okay. some way, but there are enough of them that don't seem to be natural that I'm suspending judgment. Like I can't, I would feel like an asshole to be like, oh yeah, these are all just natural. Because I guess going back to what I said earlier about localized knowledge or like, you know, specific knowledge of a specific topic, like what do dead cows tend to look like?
Mm-hmm.
If people who are experts in the appearance of dead cows are freaking out, also freaking out recently, this is, you know, this wasn't, you weren't hearing about this in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was, you know, who knows, but you know, people back in the 40s knew what dead cows looked like. This is a, you know, for whatever reason, this event started happening around 73 and was concerning enough that people wanted to get the feds involved. You know, it could be a weird moral panic, you know, this country loves that shit, but
mm-hmm.
I know, I just think that, you know, there is something unexplained about it that is alarming enough to where people who specialize in cattle are freaking out. They can't be discounted. But whatever, I mean, I don't know. Like the whole thing with the helicopters was crazy. People were,
yeah,
you know, we didn't even really get into that, but there were people forming armed bands in Kansas, like armed patrols looking for helicopters. They were going to shoot at them.
Exactly.
Shoot them down. So it's like,
yeah, that was like a thing where the government or local government, I can't remember if it was local or federal, had to take action and be like, don't shoot at helicopters, basically.
The National Guard and the military told helicopters they had to fly above 5,000.
Right, they had to fly higher.
Yeah,
that's right. That's
2,000
what it was.
Feet. Yeah.
That's right. They didn't tell the public. They told their pilots to fly higher to possibly avoid gunfire.
Yeah. I think one of the articles said a rancher actually was shooting at a helicopter. I think one of them said that he said a helicopter shot at him also, which maybe that doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't,
you know,
surprise me, but okay. So there's another theory that, this agricultural historian, Michael Gullman, theorizes that in the 70s, there was a lot of unrest and a lot of like the industry was reeling, mm-hmm. the cattle industry. So it might be from the anxiety from the state of the industry that this really blew up. And he says that according to him, unexplained cattle death has always been a part of ranching. And cattle deaths were no higher year to year during the time of the reported mutilations than before or after. But most mutilation reports emerged at a time when the cattle industry was in trouble. And in the 1970s, the U.S. government sent a lot of grain to food insecure nations, driving up the domestic price of cattle feed. And at the same time, Nixon intermittently froze the price of beef and other meats domestically to combat inflation. So the ranchers were kind of like in a squeeze. And in 1975, the Senate Agricultural Committee had a hearing, and the American National Cattlemen's Association said the industry had suffered, quote, operating losses of $5 billion plus a reduction in inventory value of $20 billion. So that was
'70s
when. So this guy's theory is in the heyday of cattle mutilations in the early mid 70s, just the 70s in general, the industry was in a bad fucking way, and the government was attacking it, it seemed like, and they weren't getting any fucking support, and small ranches were vulnerable to these government policies. And it also says, Texas, meanwhile, reported considerably less of the phenomenon, despite having by far the most cattle in the country. So that's interesting. But yeah, that's a theory, I guess.
I get, yeah, you know, I can see
mass hysteria.
Yeah. You know, his first point that the number of deaths wasn't greater during that period is, I take issue with that, because the issue here has never been the number of deaths. It's been the manner of deaths.
Exactly.
Right.
How it happened. Yeah.
No ranchers were saying, well, maybe some, but it didn't seem like the issue was people saying we're losing an unprecedented number of cattle. They were saying we're finding cattle that are dead in fucked up ways.
Right. True.
So I don't know. His theory doesn't directly account for that, you know, unless he's saying that anxiety just like manifested itself in some sort of mass psychosis. I don't know. That's reasonable. I don't know if there is evidence of that happening in other industries that have been, you know, in a similar crunch. You know, mm-hmm. That's how you would verify. Like, when the oil industry is being squeezed, do people see ghosts on oil rigs? You know, or like, are there, you know, gremlins sabotaging things? I don't know.
During a recession, is the Federal Reserve
you see more UFOs during a recession? That's a good experiment to run.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's a good point, but that's just a theory that this person was throwing out there. Is the reports jumped up and the anxiety was at such an all-time high that, I mean, maybe, who knows, maybe it was a way for them to get attention or something, to call attention to the problems, so they had to sensationalize things to get attention, mm-hmm. because they weren't getting any. I don't know. But then what does that say? Are they mutilating the cows themselves to draw attention to their problems? Whatever.
There's some farmer, rabbit hole. Some rancher in Hays, Kansas with a barn full of assholes.
Dude,
it's just like thousands of assholes.
Don't get me started about Hays. We had such a good time in Hays, Kansas.
I actually looked up.
I went through there again.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, yeah.
Good town.
Oh, yeah. Hays, Kansas.
When I was looking at these archives, when I would see mutilations in Kansas, I was mapping how close they were to Hays. please.
Like, all we know about Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good explanation. The economic anxiety. They're all, I guess, to me, equally plausible. I will say my favorite is the North Vietnamese one.
That's a pretty good one.
The North Vietnamese army just sneaking into the U.S.
That's fucking. You want to talk about a great movie? That is a great movie.
That is
a great idea for a movie, if I've ever heard one.
Oh my God.
An absurd, awesome, almost maybe grindhouse style, just B movie comedy. That just mash it all together. That is a great plot.
I would love to talk to that guy and get. I would love to just get. I want to sit that guy down and be like, "Tell me everything about this theory." Right. I want to hear start to finish how you got to this point. It's in that Newsweek article. It's an interesting read. You know, the North Vietnamese thing is just kind of a footnote, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just gonna keep. I'm gonna set up a Google alert for cattle mutilation. And just, you know, just ride this one out, see what happens.
That's all we can do at this point.
Yeah. What else can we do? It's in God's hands.
It's yeah. Yeah, that's it. What's God gonna do? I don't know. What's God? What's God gonna allow now? What bad shit is he gonna allow now? My God,
God has allowed 40 years
so much of bad cows stuff
to be carved up.
This is bullshit.
That's just the beginning of it. So
you think he doesn't care about humans?
Oh my God,
doesn't give two shits about cows.
Have you ever heard of the Michigan Dog Man?
Oh God, no.
That's a local legend.
Future episode?
I'm just saying, my friend Joe knows about the Michigan Dog Man. No. You should hit him up. Oh,
tell him to hit me up. I'm busy.
I will. You're busy. You've got 20 tabs open with cow mutilation articles.
I do.
I'm busy.
You're not far from the truth. I got about 14 tabs open. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Well, hey, I have 3 monitors. And
oh, shit, I have 2. I only have 2. Well, 3 stolen, if you count my phone.
I have my 7th trial newspapers.com account
Jesus
open.
Jesus Christ, man. We're really on
and,
it.
Yeah, man.
Hopefully we brought the pain.
Gotta research.
Yeah, you gotta.
I think so.
I think we just informed the whole world. Really, really, really let the people know what they didn't know.
Yeah. So, well, now you know where to look next.
Now you know. I'll post some links too on the show notes. Well, if we're done with that, I can tell you a quick little story. If you
hit me up, hit me the story.
With the exhumed excerpt from the tomb of the promulgated.
All right.
This one, I'm just going to warn you. It ends. It's a cliffhanger. But
okay.
I kind of liked where it went. Or what it said, but I don't like where it ends, and I couldn't find the next issue to finish the story, unfortunately.
Okay,
but this is from a 1976 November 1976 article, "The 1890s Flap" by Jerry Mathers. The first flying saucer flap, in quotes, did not occur in this country in 1947, as is commonly thought. It occurred in the 1890s. That's right, the gay 90s. While the advent of heavier-than-air flight was near in 1903, and hot air balloons no rarity in civilized areas, whatever was maneuvering through our skies throughout 1896 and 1897 was no primitive, uncontrollable balloon. Thousands of people from all walks of life, from coast to coast, reported a strange, quote, airship, unquote, flying low overhead. Reports were particularly common in the Midwest, and included sightings of airship occupants and even the kidnapping of a cow. That's the Wizard of Oz shit, I'm telling you. The log of these airships, for there had to be at least 2, can be traced from coast to coast and border to border. At Oakland, California, some streetcar passengers reported a winged, cigar-shaped ship that sent out a bright stream of light. This same description would be heard again and again across the nation. In late January 1897, a second ship was seen over Montreal for a week and also spotted near Albany, New York. The Chicago Chronicle on February 2nd said, "A strange star or light in the heavens has been puzzling the people of Montreal for a week. The light appeared a little later after 5 p.m., disappeared a bit after 7. It was thought to be a military balloon used in maneuvers." And that's the end of that.
In 1890, a military balloon?
Yeah. Well, the military existed. So, yeah.
I knew that much. Yeah. I just didn't know they were using balloons in 1890.
How else are they going to get around the world in 1,000 days or 10,000 days or...
I get that's a good, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt flying a balloon around. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The cigar shaped, you know, that's just like such a common motif.
It is.
In sightings, but hearing it back that far is very interesting.
Yeah. 1897, man.
Damn.
The 1890s UFO flap. You don't hear about that.
I had never heard about that. This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Well, I'm glad I can bring that to you. I wish I could find, because this is from the APRO bulletin, and I'm having trouble accessing the archives right now, so I had to use a different site, and it's like to be continued in the next issue, and I couldn't find the next fucking issue, and it annoyed the shit out of me, because in my normal archive site, I could definitely find the next issue, but I can't access it, and I wanted to have the whole article. Maybe next time.
Yeah, I would like to hear where that goes.
Well, in 2 years, we'll finish the story.
Yeah,
we'll
2 years have from now. In two years from now, we'll catch up on the cattle mutilation.
All right,
there'll be dozens of new cases.
Dozens, at least.
Yeah,
in Oregon, because it's not going away. Because I think, it's a cabal of psycho humans. That's what I think.
All right. I'm on board. Why not?
That are controlled by aliens.
It would make more sense if the aliens were controlling.
And humans. They're a cult, of course. Yeah. And they have sex, so they're a sex cult. And they do drugs, so they're a drug cult. And you know what else? You know who else they summon?
Satanists?
Chupacabras.
Oh shit.
Who are also to blame, which is funny. That's a funny explanation. They're like, let's explain away this weird shit with an even weirder thing.
Yeah, here's another unknown entity.
Yeah, it's
a crazy ass animal.
You know, I don't think it was aliens. It was chupacabras. That's a land animal. I can believe that.
Yeah. Listen. All options are on the table.
All options.
Wichita, Kansas, the article, the headline is Authorities Hunt for Elusive Leads to Cattle Sex Maniac.
Sex maniac. That's
just, I'll send it to you.
I think you did.
I just put it in the show notes.
I just don't even understand. I mean, if you're going to be deviant back then, sex deviancy was, I mean, as bad as you can get.
But
how it pertains to mutilating cows, but not in a sexual manner, but being a sex maniac.
Yeah,
I guess you're a sex maniac because you took the sexual organs. I don't know.
The person who, the quote is from a guy named Doyle Heft, who is the state brand commissioner.
Doyle Heft sounds real girthy in a few ways yeah, for me.
Sounds like a sex maniac.
He sounds like a sex maniac.
I'll dig into this guy.
Yeah, I'm sure many people have. Now, there's this tool, and I just got to mention this real quick because I've been thinking about it this whole episode. My father-in-law is a big hunter, and he has catalogs on his, you know, table of hunting tools and weapons and whatever. And there is a tool, and I took a picture of it, it's basically a corkscrew for an asshole of a deer. Yeah. And you just rip the asshole out real quick and like one fell swoop, just corkscrew it in, pull it out, boom, rip that asshole right out.
Yeah, it's
I wonder how clean that is. Is it a clean rip? Does it look good? Is it like look like these cattle assholes that are laser precision?
A bung puller, bung plug or something. But yeah, that is a tool I've seen in my childhood.
Where do you think they got that technology? The aliens.
I mean, I can't say for sure, but I bet you any money it did not exist before Roswell.
Hell
no. I've never seen one used either. They probably wouldn't let a kid watch that.
No. But have you seen one used?
No, I haven't. But I have seen the tool. I know the tool you're talking about. I don't know if my dad ever used one. He's an old-fashioned guy. He might have cut that out by hand.
With a nice buck knife.
Yeah,
Just cut that deer ass out.
He just used like tools he had in the garage, because my dad's a little bit of a savage. you know, I don't say he was. I don't think he was an he wasn't like a neat
screwdrivers, rusty yeah. nails,
a spring, you know,
spring.
He probably improvised.
Yeah. A sander.
Yeah. Yeah. Get creative, you know,
orbital sander, of course, not a bell yeah. sander. Gotta be orbital.
He, you know, I'll ask him. I'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah. I would love to know what his method is.
That'll be a fun, just a conversation starter. So when you were removing deer's ass, what was your first step?
Yeah, what was the step? What was the tool?
Yeah. What was it?
And what do you think about these asshole removers?
Yeah.
Are they for chumps? Are they for aliens? Like... is that alien technology? Yeah.
You know, back in my day.
Are the people who are doing these cattle mutilations using this tool? And also, are they behind crop circles? Because this is all precision work. Crop circles, cattle mutilations. You know, it's
there's a lot of shit going on.
I'm exhausted thinking about it. I am too. So I was thinking of playing a Honduran song at the end of this episode. Which one should I play?
Pregnant Skeletons.
Pregnant Skeletons. You got it. That's
the one, baby.
That goes good with the topic.
It does.
Because pregnant cows are a target.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones.
And cows that are between apparently 4 and 5 years old. Huge targets for these mm-hmm. mutilators.
Yeah.
All right. I'll get into that pregnant skeletons here in a second.
Nice.
All right, man.
I'm glad we finally got to make this happen.
Yeah, me fun. Too. Thanks for doing it. Is there anything else we need to bring up?
I think else? I've covered, I spent a lot of time reading
the Bible.
Think of anything else I found. It was, you know, super interesting.
All right.
That's it. I got it all out.
That's good. I'm glad. Well, yeah man. Send the love to the family. We'll see you soon.
All right, bud.
Yeah, man. And thanks again.
No problem. We'll do it again sometime.
For sure. We'll get into some pregnant skeletons right now.
Yeah.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, there it is. There it was. All right. Yeah, that was our old band, Honduran. Kevin's on drums. I'm playing guitar, doing a little bit of vocals. I'm the higher-pitched, shrieky vocalist. And our good friend Corey is playing bass and doing those deep, guttural growls that he's so good at. But that was a great time in our lives, I have to say. So check out Honduran. That's from the album Street Eagles, a crowning achievement in my life. I hope it's a crowning achievement in Kevin's and Corey's life. But yeah, check it out. That was it. Thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate you guys sticking around and tolerating my sporadic release schedule. But hey, that's life now. I got some more episodes in the works, and I'm not going to promise anything because every time I promise something, it doesn't exactly happen the way I'd like it to. So I'm just going to say new episodes are coming. They're always coming. I'm not stopping. They will be coming soon. I don't know when, but right now I'm averaging, I think, maybe 2 episodes a month. Yeesh, one or two. Boy, from 1 a week to maybe 1 or 2 a month. But hey, like I say, that's my life, or as Neil Hamburger says. All right, everybody, thank you so much for hanging out. Write me, lostrhetoricpodcast@gmail.com. Go to lostrhetoric.com. Go to the shop, buy t-shirts, buy koozies, buy coffee mugs, stickers, pins, all that stuff. Listen to my other podcasts, Dr. Donut and The Dingus. You can find us on Instagram at, you know, Dr. Donut and The Dingus. It's a stupid advice show. Stupid meaning we are stupid. You are not stupid. We are actually trying to help you. So write us your stupid questions, and we'll try to make your life less stupid by being, you know, stupid. Okay. Is that everything? I think that's everything. Other than please, please, please leave a review, a rating. Spread the word. Share a link. If you like this episode, if you like any episode, tell a friend. It helps spread the word. It helps the visibility of the show. It gets recommended more often. It gets into some algorithm or, of some sort. And, you know, it just snowballs from there. So I would greatly appreciate you just mentioning Lost Rhetoric to people. I've been doing this for well over 2 years now. It's pretty fucking crazy to think about. But, you know, I keep doing it because people keep listening. And more people could listen if more people share the show. All right, I'm exhausted. That's it. Everyone, good night. Thank you so much for being here. Until next time, please, everyone, you know, stay safe. Stay sane. Stay sane. And stay safe. All right, everyone.